But first, we take a look at the latest wave of violence in Israel and the Palestinian territories and how it connects to a new lawsuit against social media giant Facebook. Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Margaret Warner.
Last month, on this Jerusalem bus, three Israeli Jews were killed by two young Palestinians wielding guns and knives. Among them, 76-year-old Richard Lakin. The American-Israeli teacher, a longtime U.S. civil rights activist and educator, brought his family to Israel in 1984. His son, Mika Avni, recounts the horror of his death.
One of the terrorists shot my father in the head. My father fell to the ground. The other terrorist took out a knife and started stabbing him. He stabbed him multiple times in the head and the face, slit his stomach wide open, cutting most of his vital organs.
Richard Lakin was among more than 70 targets of a new wave of attacks this fall on Jewish individuals by Palestinians. Since October 1st, the Israeli Foreign Ministry says, at least 21 Israelis have been killed and more than 180 wounded. What's different, the vast majority of the attacks were by stabbing. Also notable, the assailants seem to be getting younger, as young as 12 or 13. Since the uptick in violence began, at least 86 Palestinians have been killed as well, shot during or after carrying out an attack, or in clashes with Israeli forces. After Lakin was stabbed, his son struggled to understand.
You know, I asked myself, what would bring two 20, 22-year-olds to board a bus and do something so brutal as to shoot three 70-year-olds and then take out a knife and start to cut them up?
Then online, he discovered hundreds of Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube postings encouraging Palestinians to stab Israeli Jews and instructing them how to do it.
Here's an instructional video showing how to most effectively slice somebody open with a knife in a way that my father was sliced open. They have a terrorist encouraging people to go out and stab Jews and showing how to best prepare a knife and sharpen it.
Avni believes such posting spurred the attacks on his father and others. He's now the lead plaintiff in a New York class action lawsuit against Facebook. It was filed by the Tel Aviv-based Israel Law Center, which takes legal action on behalf of terror victims and against what it calls Israel's enemies. 20,000 Israelis have joined the suit.
First, it asked the court to order Facebook to stop allowing Palestinian terrorists to incite violent attacks against Israeli citizens. It also charges that Facebook's computers use algorithms to connect terrorists to users who've expressed interest in violent acts against Jews.
It's not Facebook and YouTube and Twitter that's inspiring youth to take up knives against civilians. The root cause of this is the ongoing occupation and the violence, the military violence that's meted out against Palestinian bodies every day.
Noura Erekat is assistant professor at George Mason University outside Washington.
Are you saying you think these videos are insignificant?
I think that they are insignificant relative to the what Palestinians are actually producing.
And she adds there are plenty of hateful postings from the Israeli side as well.
Facebook was also the site of a page in the summer of 2014. The page was Israel Demands Revenge. Within less than a day, there were 37,000 likes on that page.
Facebook declined to grant us an on-camera interview, sending a statement that said, in part, there is no place for content encouraging violence, direct threats, terrorism, or hate speech on Facebook. We urge people to use our reporting tools if they find content that they believe violates our standards so we can investigate and take swift action. The lawsuit, however, wants the court to order Facebook to remove content on its own. Noura Erekat fears more vigorous policing by Facebook will be unfairly applied.
What we can be assured is that Facebook will take a much more stringent approach to Palestinian speech in ways that they won't also apply to Israeli speech. So we will see the chilling of speech amongst Palestinians.
That prospect concerns First Amendment lawyer and national security expert Jonathan Turley of George Washington University.
Unfortunately, this is part of a trend that we have been watching occurring in Europe largely, particularly France and England, where free speech is being eroded. It's being eroded with the criminalization of speech that may be insulting or viewed as threatening to any group or individual. At the same time, we've seen civil litigation like this case, where people are going to the courts to try to get injunctions. It's an effort to use the courts to punish or chill speech.
Turley is just as critical of efforts to shut down Facebook's algorithms connecting violence-minded Palestinians with one another.
It's not just free speech that people want to limit. Once you limit free speech, they seek to limit free association. There's no question that companies like Facebook allow for dangerous associations to be made. The question is, are we comfortable with having the government or a court sit there and choose what are beneficial associations and what are not?
Most radical groups use social media for recruitment and propaganda. So says J.M. Berger, author of a book on ISIS and a scholar at the Brookings Institution.
What we're seeing is there's a growing trend toward them using it.
Federal authorities arrested an Ohio man today, accusing him of spreading ISIS propaganda.
In the U.S., general incitement has rarely been prosecuted, but lately some people are being charged, he says.
The question of incitement to violence is a pretty complicated one. We had a recent case, an arrest of an ISIS supporter who had posted names and addresses of U.S. military personnel with an injunction to go kill those people. And that person was charged with incitement to violence, which we have not seen previously as a counterterrorism charge.
Global social media companies must walk a balancing act between protected speech and illegal content.
Companies have to tailor their response to each country's rules and regulations. Turkey and Russia have been the source of a very large number of takedown requests to remove content based on claims that the content is terrorist, but their definitions of terrorism are not necessarily the same as ours.
Turley believes the Paris attacks prove Europe's cracking down on violent content has been ineffective.
If you look at Germany, it has the longest experience on this in prohibiting even symbols like the swastika or people who deny the Holocaust. It hasn't made a bit of difference. The neo-Nazi movement has continued to grow. By forcing these groups underground, you lose track not only of them, but their views and how they're changing. Much of our actionable intelligence comes from being on these sites.
So your view is, on the internet, just let 1,000 poisonous flowers bloom, whatever the effect.
No, you know, these companies do have the right to pool material. There's a big difference between asking a government entity, like a court, to censor or strip speech.
In the U.S., policing of sites generally falls to the companies themselves, says Brookings Berger.
These companies suspend thousands of users every day for a variety of reasons. For instance, child pornography, other kinds of content and harassment. And what we don't have is any kind of disclosure of who they suspend and why.
One thing that can prompt them to act, he says, is negative publicity.
The companies are extremely sensitive to bad press. Those stories will eventually have an effect, even on companies that claim to have a very high-minded mandate about free speech.
Facebook's response is expected in the New York State Supreme Court in January. For Mika Avni and his lawyers, even if their lawsuit fails, a publicity-driven change in Facebook policing policies would be a victory. I'm Margaret Warner for the PBS NewsHour.